I think there's a lot of women that assume because they're uncomfortable that they need to heal something. And that's where I see a lot of the mismatch that's coming up. Do you need to heal your inner child, or are you just uncomfortable because you're growing? Is that a
Yeah.
money mindset wound, or do you actually just need to stop be avoidant of sales and get better at selling? So that's where I
Yeah.
love to come in with a little bit more of like the matter of fact conversation, because for a lot of women, I'm sure in your audience listening, they've done the initial healing, which in the
Oh, yeah.
beginning of business, 100% it's so necessary. Like I had a lot of triggers, unconditioning patterns I had to do around money, success, speaking my voice, because that's what was modeled for me. But when you continue to do that, there comes a point where I'm like, you're not that you're done healing, but the whole concept of healing still signals to me in that language that you think you're broken. I need to heal my money mindset. Do you, or do you just need to go sell more?
Welcome back to the Female Purpose Podcast. I have a guest with me today, and it's Courtney. It's Courtney Tirona, one of my fellow mastermind women from a mastermind that I'm in. And we met there in that space, and I checked her out. I joined her 30-day challenge, Inertia. And I thought it was so good that I invited her to speak to me about upper limits, because that's something that a lot of women experience whenever they go through transitions, brand evolutions, pivots in their business and life. So we talk about what to do when you're finding yourself getting stuck in a circle of pivoting or healing, or whatever we like to call it, ladies, you know what I mean, and how to break out of that and actually do the work that's going to move the needle. This interview is solid gold, really. We talk about taking massive action. We talk about Courtney's history as a track runner and what she learned from that. And of course, we talk about inertia, which I really think you should join if you're in need of a reset in your business and life. So without further ado, enjoy this very energetic interview with Courtney and me. Welcome to the Female Purpose Podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so excited for this conversation. Thank you for having me.
I was hooked. Like the other day, I went to your Instagram and I was scrolling around because you and I ended up being in the same breakout session in one of the spaces that we both, you know, a mastermind space that we share. So I was like, oh, I need to know more about this, Courtney. I'm going to check out what she's doing.
Stalk
And
me.
Yes, I stalked you and I went to your Instagram and I really love what you talked about, like this upper limit topic. And I joined your current 30-day challenge inertia.
Yes.
So we're going to dive into that later. But, and I was like, ooh, there's so much goodness in this. And there's so many things that I actually, when I listened to that, I was like, ooh, there's upper limits I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah.
So
they're sneaky
that was,
sometimes.
Yes, they're very sneaky. And I think they come in at every level in your business, because you and I have been in the game for a long time. So we're not like newbies, but I think with every level you unlock, there are new upper limits. So that was very powerful. And I definitely discovered that I'm the last minute Linda. So I used to thrive on, you know, doing things last minute, planning launches, just leaving it to, you know, riffing on a master class that should then sell my high ticket up. Like I used to sell myself that story. So that was definitely a powerful mirror for me.
Yeah, I see that a lot with, I mean, I used to very much be like that. And I have some clients and I'm like, you're an adrenaline junkie. Like you like the adrenaline, you like the rush before when it's 5 minutes before the master class and you're, and that is, you know, an identity. It's also, I do find to be an upper limit. That was very much a big one of mine, I would say, up until like 2025. And I was like, we can't keep doing this because it's exciting. It's an adrenaline rush. But what happens is you actually never allow yourself to be as big as you want to be, because you keep short selling yourself. I call this is where you're like, you're playing second place.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you actually hide behind avoidance, because it is an avoidance pattern, right?
100%.
It's like, I don't want to sit my ass down and really plan something and be intentional. So, but that was just one thing I discovered. And I want to ask you, why did you decide to do this challenge and why now?
So good. I love bringing forward work that I have a pretty good pulse check on the world, I would say. Like I'm very intuitive in that sense. And I could just really tell for myself, but also for just what a lot of people in the online space really have needed, and I think 2026 has felt like a very big pivot shift evolution year for a
Oh,
lot of
yeah.
people in a really great way. And I think with that, usually, and I know this is so much of your work, when you're pivoting, shifting, evolving, it's easy to kind of slow down in the shedding of it, right? And I really felt that for just my own evolution. I saw that with amazing clients. I could just really see that the online space was starting to take their foot off the gas. And I've always been really obsessed with what I call Ferrari energy. It's like foot on the gas. This is where like the track references come in. Like I used to be a track runner, and it's like, more women are not moving at full capacity, and they're
Yes.
telling themselves this quote unquote lie that they're at capacity, which really is you're so far under capacity. You're sitting too much in the thinking and shedding. And yes, evolution sometimes can take time, but I'm like, my girl, you've been shedding for 6 weeks. Like you're done now. Now you're just sitting in it. And I also just had this feeling of, I and this was actually like the tagline of inertia. I'm like, I just want to go. Like, it's time to go now. It's not time to sit and think and wonder. And I really love working with women that are not apologizing for moving big, for moving fast, for doing the work. And I could just sense that I needed this because I always put myself through my own work. I've been through so many of my own upper limits, my own inertia. And I always find that August is such a great month for this because we also know September going into Q4, it's a big season. And I could
Yes.
just really see that. You know, women again at every level, it's like, I'll just start in September, or they say they're quote unquote selling and they are, but energetically their foot's off the gas. And I was like, I want to create something where the whole month there is strategy involved, but the whole month, the point is you overcome yourself and you remind yourself how big you want to be, how fast you want to move. And as I've even put myself through this work, the level of like aliveness I have in my work, and I've seen this with the women inside, it's just like, oh, this is the new standard. So I could really, I mean, a lot of it was when I'm like, it's time to go, I never keep that evolution to myself. It always becomes work. It always becomes a body of work, and I bring that forward. So I'm leading it for my clients, and I've been through many of my own inertias, like I've said, but I'm like, if I need this, then the world needs it. So that was kind of the inspiration behind it. And I think as well, the first half of 2026, I was doing a lot of evolving, shifting. 2025 for me personally was a massive year in terms of restructure, in terms of like I closed two programs down. I brought forward
Wow.
six in-person experiences. Like my price, like everything was really shifting. I was shifting, and I was also traveling a lot. Like every month, with the exception of I think March of 2025, I was on a plane, hosting an event, speaking at an event, at doing like I invested a lot in my brand in terms of content. So I was traveling. And my
Wow.
last event was January that I attended. This was an event I spoke at. And then I also hosted a retreat in London, England. So by the time I got home, this was January of 2026, February of this year, I was like, oh, I felt like I could take a breath because
Yeah.
May, or sorry, 2025 was I hosted a retreat, I spoke on stage, then I dropped my event. That was 8 months in the process. Then I closed down a mastermind, closed down my membership, opened up a 40K mastermind, did another, like I was just going. So by
Yes.
the time it was like end of January of 2026, I wasn't traveling and I felt like I could like, oh, take a breath in the best way possible. And that's where I was personally in my own evolution of like, okay, now we've done the restructure. Now we've brought forward the in-person. Now we have the offer suite. Like it was like the now what? And you know, I had to really sit with that. And that's where, again, as I sat with that, went through the evolution in May of this year, I was like, I knew I was going to bring forward inertia in August. I was just really, it was the strategic timing of when I brought it forward. But yeah, that was kind of the story behind it. And in that evolution, I, in a good way, like had another wake-up moment where I'm like, oh yeah. Like, let's move fast. Because I was in not so much of the slow energy the beginning of this year, but I needed to like take a breath from what I did
Yes.
last year. And that was the sitting, the contemplating, the shedding, the making decisions. I move quick, but I'm not impulsive anymore. I used to be very impulsive and call that speed. It was a little bit of self-sabotage. So yeah, that's when I was like, it's time to go. And I'm ready to go all in, roll my sleeves up, do the work, love the work. I'm not here to lean back. Maybe one day, but right now I don't want to lean back. I want to lean in.
Oh, but that's so important what you just said, because there were a lot of things. I want to go back to a couple of things. So
Yeah.
you said January was like a season of, oh, taking a breath, and you genuinely needed that, right? I can imagine. It was the same for me, basically, because 2025 has been very intense as well. So I'm just wondering, how did you know when to lean in? Because I think one point in time where a lot of women are struggling is, okay, so now I've taken the foot off the gas because I really need to create space in my calendar for something new to emerge. We all need that sometimes, right? But what I see a lot, and I've seen it in myself as well, is then you don't really find momentum and you're like hiding behind your desk and your Google Doc and calling that brainstorming or whatever. And you're finding it very hard to get back on track. So when did you know it was time to lean in? How did you know that?
So for me, I will get to a point, because I think there's a fine line of when you're sitting, evolving, daydreaming, and that over time can start to become avoidant, because then you sit in the avoidance. And then, so I knew probably, it didn't really take much time for me. I would say probably mid-April, I was like, it's time. It's time for me to look at what this next season of me actually going for it really looks like. The other thing that I would say I love doing that ignites a little bit of that good urgency is having something that you're working towards. And that was another thing I saw, is a lot of women are working towards nothing. And I'm someone that needs a target. Like, where are we going? So for 2025, it was easy. It was like, you have a retreat, you're speaking on stage. There was something I was working towards. And for me, when I was in that evolving and having that white space in the calendar, again, there's nothing that I was technically working towards, but then I needed something to, because in that, that's where it's easy to get into. So I had that self-awareness where I had a retreat in May, and I knew, okay, I'm going to work towards that. But then come May or June, essentially, we got to go, because otherwise it's easy to sit in the complacency. I call this cruise control, where like you're showing up and you're selling, but it's like, but are you leading? Are you leading yourself? Where are we going? Yes. So that's for me, is I have a good awareness of like, am I shifting, evolving, or am I just avoiding? and it's easy to look at, because for me, when I really had to sit with, you know, the next iteration of my brand, because I had evolved so much, especially from 2025, I had the clarity. It was just, that was the upper limit. I was like, ooh, like now I have to make a change. Now I have to shift the way that I'm showing up. And it's easy in that to be like, no, I just think I have to sit a little bit with it more. And I'm like, no, you just need a target to work towards, because then you shift gears, because you have to, in a good way.
That's true. And I love what you said in inertia, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but you said one thing that was like, ooh, that resonated a lot. And that is, a lot of women, when they then want to have a target to work toward, they pick something that is just here, like a bit above what they're doing. And then they're like, yeah, well, but that doesn't really activate me, but yeah, I'm going to do, you know, the post, the blah, blah, blah. And then no real momentum occurs. So what would you say to women in exact that situation? Like, okay, being at home behind the desk, trying to gain some momentum, but then again, maybe she doesn't know, okay, what would be something that really, you know, jolts my system in a good way, so I actually move? What would you say to her?
I love that, because most people, I know people can't see, but most people will just take like 1 or 2 inches outside of their comfort zone. And what happens is, it's not enough of a resistance for the identity to actually shift. It's kind of uncomfortable, and that's incremental growth. I always play the 10X move, and it can show up in multiple different ways, but this is where, and a lot of people don't like this conversation, but I love it. I do like to give myself, whether it's an amount of people that I'm going to serve, or it's a number that I want to hit, not because I'm chasing money, but because the money becomes the target. That's what we're working towards, who I have to become on my way there. That creates that, again, in that good way, that urgency, something to work towards. So in other seasons of my business, it's been something like, I want to launch a retreat and I've been hesitating it. So that becomes the thing. In other seasons, it's, I want to bring forward a high ticket offer and I've been delaying it. So that becomes the thing. And I like looking at it in that way. Whatever the goal is that people set, I find a lot of the conversation is the energetics around it, because it's easy to, for me, I put on a 30-day challenge and it's like, I could have sold it and been like, everyone join and people could have trickled in. But what I had to do was how I saw myself, the way that I was like, my goal was 1,000 people. Like that's where I was going. Now, did we hit it? No. Am I like checking on my self-worthiness? No. Next one, we're going to do 500. Next. So I love setting those targets because the way that I showed up going after 1,000 was so different than let's get 20 people in. So I like setting those goals that will force me in the best way possible to really be like, if you have 1,000 people in this program, you're not showing up like this. You're not thinking like this. And that creates a big enough gap in my current identity for me to really look at this is what needs to shift for me. So sometimes it can be a target that you have. Sometimes it can just be the way that you're showing up. Like as I've been even selling inertia, there have been some days I've woken up and I'm like, meh, my energy's not, but I'm like, I got to get in it because this is how I'm leading. And that's been my own version of overcoming inertia is my new baseline is like maximum happiness, maximum, like I'm so in my work. But because there's been days where I've woken up and I'm like, I don't really feel like it today.
Let's talk about that. So what do you do when you don't really feel like it today? Like, what is your, do you have like your resources that you always activate? Like, how do you get yourself in a state of, okay, I'm in it again?
I have a few different things that I like to do to kind of put myself into state. One of the biggest things is I'm so aware of when a thought comes up. So let's say I wake up and I'm like, that person said they were going to buy and they didn't. Or I just wake up and I'm like, I don't really know if people are, whatever those thoughts are. This is what I call my refractory period. And that's the time that I'm aware of it to the time that I shift it. And most people stay too long in that. So what happens is then that muscle, that thought, that belief gets bigger and stronger. I'm like this. I'm like, no, not today. And I play this game with myself because there's two versions of us. There's what I call like our ego, which is the one that wants to keep us safe and the one that's like, no, you're a loser today and all of those things. And then there's what, like the winning identity, but this is really just like who you are. So I'm so aware of the two voices, but I let, well, this is my winning identity. I let her lead. So I will. And it's little things of like I rampage with myself. So if I'm getting ready in the morning, I will like have a conversation with myself. I'm like, today's gonna be the best fucking day in the world. And even if I don't feel it, I say it and I say it and I say it until I feel it. It's like the sun is shining. You have women to serve today. Like you are the only one that can lead these people. And I rampage on that. And in just 5 minutes of doing that, it completely shifts my state because I'm speaking life over what it is that I want. That voice that's like, I don't know, I don't have energy, it just dissipates. And I love doing that. The other thing, this is just for me personally, but music has always been something that I've drawn a lot of creativity from.
Ooh,
So
oh
a lot
yeah.
of my programs, like even when I was building inertia as an example, I find the name of programs and just like the feeling. Because when I'm building a program, like high ticket, mid ticket, low ticket, I first start with a feeling. So when I was like finding inertia, there was like a song and I was like, this is the song. So I have like a playlist for every season or every offer. And I like doing that because when I'm selling, inertia as an example, I literally built a playlist called Inertia, and every single song immediately shifts me into state. Now that works really well for me. I do find just overall music is such a state shifter. Like you can't listen to a song that, when I feel like all women do this, like you listen to a breakup song when you're not even going through a breakup, and then you're like, why am I so sad? Like it shifts your energy so much. So when I listen to certain songs, it's almost like the alter ego comes out, and I'm like, oh. So I would say those are definitely the two things is I talk myself into the state I want to be. And I think that's where a lot of women, because you're doing it either way. You're either saying like, I don't feel like it today, or whether that's in your head or out loud, you're doing that. So I just shift and I'm like, well, I'm going to spend time talking negatively about myself. I might as well talk about what it is that I want. And it's so quick. And the thing is, it's so simple that people are like, so I love doing that, and I would say music is definitely something else, but it really is that radical ownership on your energy because there are 100% some days I wake up and I'm not how I am today. Like I've been on a new one today, but it's because 2 days ago I wasn't, and I didn't let that mean anything. I took 2 minutes to be like, I'm not do have your pity party if you need to, ego, but at the 2 minute mark, we're done. And then I go into shit, and sometimes I've done that. I will set a timer for 5 minutes, and I'm like, cry, have your pity party, feel your emotions, because I'm big on feeling. We're not repressing. But then it's like, what are you going to do about it? And the time that I move out of that's how the muscle of the aliveness of the there's no doubt gets stronger because I've built it. I've trained it into my body.
True. And when you say refractory period, I'm reminded of a retreat I went to in 22. It was Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he
Yes,
always says,
big fan of his work.
shorten the refractory period of your emotions, because otherwise you're going to be like a like a fog, you know, dissolving into every space of your life, and you're just going to be stuck, right? So it's about really reacting and shifting and really realigning with your best energy. So, and I use music a lot, by the way. Like, I've used music in programs. I have playlists for clients, everything. I think it's such a powerful, I think it's such an underestimated tool, and it's so easy, right?
It's so easy. And the other thing too, I would say, is I don't make the thoughts mean anything. I think that's the big thing is, you know, women will think if they've had an unsupportive thought, a negative thought, or maybe there's something that's actually happened in their life or in business that's unsettling, that is challenging. I'm neutral around that. I don't make that mean anything, that I'm wrong, I'm on the wrong path, something needs to shift. I'm just like, okay, like, I'm playing the game. Like, the game is, some days you're going to be up, some days you're going to be down, but it's like, what's your perspective around it? How long do you sit in it? And like, get back in the game and play.
That is so powerful. And I would love to talk to you about something that I think we should be having a conversation around more often. And that is really the addiction to healing. And you had like this very cool reel where you said, you're addicted to healing. You got to stop that. And I want to ask you, because when we're going through shifts, and I see that a lot in our industry, like there's a, for example, there's a lot of discussion around regulating your nervous system.
Yes.
And everything, now everything is regulation. You need to regulate, heal. Personally, I think there are times where you actually need to regulate, of course, and you actually need to heal. But where do you see women upper limiting themselves when, like, are there actually points or patterns where you can detect it and see, oh no, you're in this healing addiction right now? Like, what are some examples of that?
I love this so much. This is one of my favorite conversations, because at the core of change is dysregulation. Like, you won't regulate yourself to success. So I think that's really important, because that's not even a, in my opinion, like, you can't negotiate with that. Like, change is uncomfortable. When you go to the gym and you lift heavier weights, your body is under stress. Like, your muscles actually tear and then they repair, and that's how you get bigger and stronger. It's uncomfortable. So I think there's a lot of women that assume, because they're uncomfortable, that they need to heal something. And that's where I see a lot of the mismatch that's coming up. Do you need to heal your inner child, or are you just uncomfortable because you're growing? Is that a money mindset wound, or do you actually just need to stop, be avoidant of sales and get better at selling? So that's where I love to come in with a little bit more of like the matter of fact conversation, because for a lot of women, I'm sure in your audience listening, they've done the initial healing, which in the beginning of business, 100% it's so necessary. Like, I had a lot of triggers, unconditioning patterns I had to do around money, success, speaking my voice, because that's what was modeled for me. But when you continue to do that, there comes a point where I'm like, you're not that you're done healing, but the whole concept of healing still signals to me in that language that you think you're broken. I need to heal my money mindset. Do you, or do you just need to go sell more? Are you just uncomfortable because you did a launch and it didn't go according to plan? So that's where I love to like challenge a little bit of the ego. And I've seen this a lot, because one of the sneakiest upper limits I've seen is people think there's something in their identity they need to shift to be more successful. And that's that's the identity of thinking there's something in your identity is a loop. Because what happens is, this is the addiction. This is this what I call playing second place. Because as long as you have something to shift in your money mindset, as long as there's something you need to heal, as long as there's more regulation, what you're really doing is you're saying that there's something else I need to quote unquote do, fix, heal, journal about before I can be successful. And that's looping. You're just, you get to a certain level of success, you might experience dysregulation, discomfort, because you're changing. And then you're like, oh no, something's wrong. I need to heal. This person said no. And that's where I just come back to, again, for most women listening to this, you're done healing. Like, you're done. And what happens when I challenge people on this, and I'm like, what if there's nothing left for you to heal? What if there's nothing left in your identity that needs to shift to change today? You can go be first place. And what happens is there's discomfort in that, because now they have to face themselves. True. Now you have to go be that bigger person. Now you have to keep your word
Take
to yourself.
Action.
Now you can't get to a certain level of success and go to your mentor and be like, actually, I think there's something coming up with my inner child around. And it's like, no, there's not. Like, there's not. And that's, again, the loop, the avoidance. And because I find upper limits become a lot sneakier in as you continue to grow and do this work, because in the beginning of your business, it's so obvious when you're triggered, when you're like
True.
actually dysregulated, because you're starting all of the healing. But at this level, for most women that have done a lot of this work, it's sneaky. The ego sounds like logic. No, you know what? You saw this woman, and I think you should probably just take a nap, and it reasons with you, and you listen to it. And then the greatest way to tell of if you're in this is, one, your level of growth, success, and that could look like in any metric, growth in terms of the business, growth in terms of how you're leading yourself. I like to look at certain things that become measurable. If the business isn't growing, it's a byproduct of how you see yourself. And also, yeah,
Yes.
the strategic skill sets that might need to improve or might need bigger reps. But when you really look at that, and it's the, again, I've had clients say this, of like, yeah, there's just something in this is the almost. I can feel my success. It's almost there. It's not, it's here. And when people understand that, like, again, that's the second place. Because as long as you're second place, you're never the winner. As long as you're second place, you're almost there. As long as you're second place, you still have conversations of like, okay, so this launch didn't go according to plan. One of the things was a lot of my mindset, and then we do, we just loop. And I'm like, we can play that game if you want, but you know how it ends
True.
the exact same
True.
way. And as soon as you realize there's nothing broken, you don't need to be fixed, you're completely whole, you have everything that you need right now. And then women are like, the ego will be like, justified. No, I don't know about because of, and it's like, when you get that, that's the ego justifying, that's the upper limit. And you're like, the repatterning is not listening to that. The repatterning is, no, I have everything that I need to go forward and be who I need to be, make the money I want to make, whatever that is. But then, yeah, then you have to acknowledge that you are first place, that you are a winner, that there's nothing else for you to fix. And then the action or any avoidance is out the window. You can't play that game anymore.
And then you actually have to move, which is why it's so uncomfortable. And I think one of the
Yes.
biggest lies is be, do, have. I think it's rubbish because that's exactly what you just said. Like, I have to be someone else. I have to become someone else before I can actually move. No, it's do, be, have. Do something which will make you then change into someone else, and then you will have the result you're looking for. So I think
Yes.
that's a big lie. You know, this, I have to become someone else. And I'm not lying. Like, I have been in that vicious circle a lot of times, a lot of times. And it's very sneaky because it shape shifts eventually. So what really triggered you in the beginning of your business, as you said, that's not going to be it anymore. And then there are other, you know, mechanisms or, patterns, like I just said in the beginning of this interview, like the last minute Linda that come in and really, you know, no, you first have to, and blah, 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 like a lot of things, how we sabotage our growth.
I really know and believe this, like, action cures everything. Like, it really does, because in the action, you build the confidence, you get the data, you understand your audience more, you prove to yourself that you keep your word. Like, action really does cure so much. And a lot of people, that's where it's like, but I have to journal, I have to regulate, I have, and I'm like, no. Like, it's the most regulating thing that I have done in the last 3 months is pour myself into my work 10 times more, put myself at capacity, and capacity not where I'm like burnt out, capacity where I'm like, I'm so alive, not because I thought about it or I was visualizing about it. Like, we can visualize on who you want to become, or you can just take the action like her today and you're just her. Like, it really
True.
does collapse the, I would say, the identity loop is when you just do the thing.
Speaking of doing the thing, there was
Yes.
one story in Inertia that you brought,
Favorite.
and it was about you as a track runner, because that's a part of your life. You used to be a track
Yes.
runner. And I love that story so much, because what I see in women going through identity shifts in their business and life, and I've been watching that pattern for years, is,
Yeah.
well, but these are my results up till now, and these are the circumstances I'm in, and this is the industry, and she's doing this, and like they're making the outer circumstances mean so much about what they can actually achieve. And I think it's very toxic at times where you're like, no, but actually, I don't know about you, but I've seen phases in my life and business where things shifted really quickly. And I had all the reasons in the world to believe that no, this is not going to work. Like, no, that can't be working, because I haven't experienced this before. And all the parameters in my external environment are actually mirroring back to me that this is not what's happening. So could you please tell us the story of the track runner where you had to shift positions? Because I love that so much.
Yes, so good. And I love this too, because the 3D, the external, it's always going to test us, challenge us, throw curveballs at us. And I find too, and this was so much of what shifted for me in the story, is when you keep your word to yourself and you keep doing the action, you're less reactive to the outside because you actually trust yourself, because you have a long line of, and this was for me, of like, I knew I was, and I won't give the ending away, but I mean, it's kind of obvious. I knew I was going to win the race because I'm in control. So yeah. I used to be a track and field runner, for those who don't know, and I was running a relay. So this was a 4x4 relay. So there were four women. I was one of the four, and we each had to run 400 meters, which is one lap around the track. Now, one of the strategies that, for those who are familiar with running or relays, you'll know this, but for those who don't, one of the strategies is your first runner, which is your starter, and your anchor, which is your last runner, are the fastest runner. So you get out of the gate quick and then you end really fast. Now, I was always the anchor. I was one of the fastest, surprise, surprise, but I was one of the fastest of the four women on the team. So I was always the anchor. I trained to be the anchor. The way I got everything that I did in practice leading up to this incredible race that we were running as a team, I trained to be the anchor. Now, this was a race where we had to qualify to then go, you know, run at the national level. So we had to become top two, and we were favored to win for that race, given what our times was. So the race starts, and for context, one lap around the track at the time for all of us running was about a minute to like 58 seconds to a minute. So it's a quick race. By the time the first girl is on, second, third, fourth, like, we don't have too much time. Guess what? We're dysregulated. So we're like in adrenaline. So the first runner, our starter, she doesn't start the race the way that she was supposed to, for whatever reason. I don't remember why, but she didn't get us a head start the way that she was supposed to. So she's running, and second place is, or not second place, our second runner is about to go on. And my coach, so that's the first external. The 3D is like, we're favored to win, our first starter. This is, again, out of my control. I can only control me on the track, me running the race. First, our starter didn't start the way that she could. We're now in fourth place. So we're behind. So I could have freaked out, and I was like, doesn't matter. I'm in control of what I'm in control. So our second runner goes on. Again, we're fourth place now. And my coach comes up to me, and I'm, again, still thinking that we're going to be, I'm running last, the anchor. And he's like, I'm moving you to third. Now, again, he did this strategically. You can think of him like the universe. He's moving me because he sees a bigger plan. He sees something that I can't. I'm here to run the race. He's here to orchestrate how we can actually win. So think of that, God, source, universe, whatever that is for you. So he puts me to third. Now I have about 58 seconds to gather myself because second runner is already on. So again, there was a moment where I was not agitated, but I was like, fuck. Like, I thought I had two more minutes. Now I literally have 58 seconds to like collect myself and go. So again, second thing that shambles me a little bit, where I'm like a little bit of a wobble, right? We experience in this in business where we get thrown a curveball, we get thrown a left hook from the universe, and we're like, why is this happening? And I, again, my refractory period at that point, I was like, you got 2 seconds, like, pull your shit together, because we got a race to win. Yeah. So again, most women will see a wobble, see something on the external, and they focus on it. I could have been mad at my coach. I could have been pissed at the girl that got out slower, but it was like, that's all that's going to do is affect my energy and how I perform and run the race. And that's, again, a lot of the loop of, you can bitch about the 3D, but it's just going to affect your performance and your ability to perform at top levels. So second place, or our second runner, is now coming around, and now I'm on the track waiting for her to hand me the baton, and we're in sixth place now. So there's seven teams. We're basically second last. We're favored to win. And here's the thing. I'm locked in. Didn't matter that we were favored to win and the first start runner didn't do a thing. Didn't matter to me that we were now sixth place. So we went from fourth to sixth. So we actually got worse. Again, wobble, wobble. Could have been upset about my coach. I knew, and I get chills thinking about this, my job was to run the damn race. My job wasn't to react. My job, and because I showed up to practice prior to that, and I held my word to myself, I showed up, I pushed myself, I had injuries, I had all of those other things in the past, but because I had patterned the 3D, the external doesn't change how I perform, I was able to lock in. And as long as people keep reacting to the external, you're building the muscle of reaction, not performing. So I get handed the baton, and I always get like full body chills, because this is a moment where, and I was probably 16, maybe 17 at the time. So this was my beginning experience of what it really looks like to win, like internally win. My mind and body were working together. A lot of women experience this where their mind is like, I'm going to do $1 million, but their body is like reacting, or the body is like, I'm so regulated, and the mind is like, ah, I think you're a loser. So it disconnects. And as long as mind and body are working against each other, we're not going to perform at optimal levels. But again, this is why it's so important. I find identity is in the micro moments. It's not in the moment where you're like, I feel amazing. It's in the moments where you don't and you shit. In the moment where I was like, could have been mad. Nope.
True.
And it was so easy for me to do that because for 6 months prior, I was doing that. I was building the muscle physically, but also mentally. So we're in sixth place. As second runners handing me the baton, there's people literally halfway down the track. And I'm like, not worried about it, not reacting to it. I run my race, mind and body working together. Now, as I pass fifth place, fourth place, third place, you probably get where the end of the story is going. This, like the analogy I use is all of the people that I was passing, and for everyone listening, is it's not about competing with other people. Those were all the reasons why I shouldn't have won that I didn't use as a reason. It was like pass, pass, pass. So by the time I'm coming around the final 100 meters, we're in first place because I didn't react, because I ran my race, hand the baton to the fourth runner, now what became our anchor, and we won the race. And I remember my coach came up to me, and not to like boast myself, but we won that race because of me, because I didn't let all of those things, obviously it was a team effort, but any other runner could have wobbled and been like, oh my God, I don't know, get in their head. And I was like, I was locked in. And I remember my coach, his name is Mr. Fitz. He's such an influential person in my life, but he really taught me the value of winning. Like winning when it looks good and winning when it looks like you're probably going to be last. I didn't let that affect me. And I remember he put his hands on my shoulders and he was like, you're a fucking machine. And in that moment, I was like, it was so validating for me. And I was like, yeah, I am. But that was such a pivotal moment. And I always come back to that story because that's life, that's business, that's literally everything of when you're the third runner and you were supposed to be the fourth, when you're first place, all of these things, are you going to run the race or are you going to react and then half-ass it and then wonder why you don't win?
And I think there's so much gold in that story. And I think one of the things people underestimate, a lot of women underestimate, is actually putting in the reps. You need to sell more or sell in a different way. You need to do more content. You need to more. And then it's like, I want to do more quality. I'm going to post less because then it's more about quality. No, because quality actually, it's built through quantity, right? And also you learn to trust yourself in the process. And you're like, oh yeah, put in the rep, check. And not from a place of just, checking the box, but really being consistent. And people always say, yeah, being consistent, it's important for, visibility, for all of the obvious reasons. Yes, but it's also important to build self-trust. And here we are again, the science of confidence, right? So you had really put in all the reps to be able to, in that moment, think about exactly that. Like, yeah, I've done this before. I'm locked in and now I'm gonna run. I'm just gonna do it. And that's what it comes down to.
And I think there's something interesting right now that I do not agree with of like, do less. And I'm like, why would you want to do less of the very thing that you're telling me that you love? And it's like, if you
True.
want to be the best, you are going to have to be a little maniacal about the amount of reps that you put in. But it's like the reps, and this is where people get this confused, is they think, make more, do less, or like you said, quality. So you get to that point. You get to that point. I'm at a point now where I'm doing both quality and quantity, but the quality is there because I put in the quantity.
Exactly.
I had to do that. And for me, this is where I love the conversation of like hard work. When I was running track and field, training for a scholarship, when I'm running my business, it's like I love the reps. I don't want to do less of it. Now, does that mean I'm glued to my phone 24/7 and don't have a life? No,
No.
obviously not. But it's like this concept of like, I don't want to put the reps in. And I'm like, well, why? Because there's something in that. Because it's like, if this is the work that you love, and that's the inertia, that's the upper limit. If you've been in a lot of, your action has looked like whatever it is, you do have to increase the reps. There is a di and again, this is across the board. Olympic athletes are putting in more reps than those that are just playing at a college level because they're obsessed, because and that's why they're so good. But they love the game. And that's the thing is like, I love putting in the reps because it's the work that I love. And to your point, content and sales especially is a skill. And any
True.
skill is you only get better at it by reps. That's it.
Yes, full stop.
Yep.
Exactly. Let's talk about mic drop. Let's talk about inertia. You yes. started this challenge, I think it was on the 1st of August, right? So a week ago?
So we did like a pregame call on the 28th of July, but yeah, the August 3rd actually is when we had our first call. So yeah, 10 days ago, which is crazy. It feels like it's been like 3 months.
Yes, you're 10 days in. And I want to ask you, what have been the most surprising moments in this container so far where you were like, ooh, that's a really cool shift of one of my clients, or that's something you learned maybe that you wouldn't have known before?
I think a few things for me is how quickly women can change, like how quickly their business and their identity can change. And I've seen this in inertia. I've seen this in previous, there's something about 30 days when people just lock in and they focus, and like the wins, yes, monetarily have been massive. Like women are going from not having great visibility to posting a piece of content and going viral in front of the right people and having, you know, other women, it's like 25 people coming into their offer, 6K pay in fulls, like feeling a lot, like all of it. It's crazy how quick it can happen. And I think one of the biggest things that I know, but this was just another validation, is there's a different level of energy when you put a group of highly committed women in a space together. Even though like we have calls twice a week and then we have Telegram for those that are in our VIP, but there's a collective energy of the space and like everyone is locked in, everyone is winning. And there's something palpable about that I'm like, and I'm obsessed with it. So I think one of the biggest things is I'm blown away by how quickly women can change in a conversation, whether they have a conversation with me, whether they're listening to the trainings or simply just by sitting on a call. And I've had so many DMs of like, it all unlocked. It's like unlock, 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 where everything is just clicking for them from a strategy perspective. But also when it comes to upper limits, sometimes, and I've seen this with a lot of the women, they kept hitting the upper limit because they were aware that it was a limit to begin with. And now that they have awareness of it, they can catch it. And when you catch it, repattern it, it again. So that's, I would say, one of the biggest things. The other thing that I would say more so from a strategy, but also I guess energetic, is, and we've been working on this in inertia, is from a content perspective, people aren't speaking plain English. I'm like, I don't know what that means in your content. Like the articulation of people's work in terms of communicating it in a way that feels like English, not AI, that feels like you're actually having a conversation. And again, we've done this so much in the container, but for me, it's like not hilarious, but I'm like, oh, like a lot of people just would make so much more money if it, again, to our point, it's nothing to do with identity. You just need to communicate more clearly.
And also sometimes, and that's how I use mentorship, you just need like one sentence or one call and you're like, ooh, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And then everything just falls into place. So that's why I love containers like that. And I love inertia. If there's somebody listening right now who's in a state of transition and who feels like, ooh, I'm bumping against a glass ceiling, I feel there's something there. But I don't really know how to break through it. Like I'm upper limiting myself because I'm a self-conscious woman, but like I'm just stuck. What would you say to her?
The first thing I would say is to stop identifying with being stuck and stop identifying with being in that season. Even if everything is telling that you're in that, because then again, I'm really big on language. So if I hear a client for after 2 months, like I'm in evolution, you're done evolving. And then from there, the brain opens up to looking at, if you were done evolving and you had all of the answers, you have done the shedding, what's the first thing that you're going to do? And from there, then you can actually look at, oh, so it shifts a little bit of the perspective, the language. So that's the first thing is, if you're done evolving, which you are, and it's like, it's making that decision for yourself of you're done evolving, you're done shedding. What's step one? You don't need to know step two, three, four. What's step one? Step one is, and whatever that looks like for you. And then I think the other thing is when you're coming out of a season of evolving, there is a level of building up the momentum again. And I think a lot of women come out of evolution and they think, day one is like they're flying high. You have to rebuild, you have to rebuild that muscle. It's like stamina, right? Like when I rebuild running outside, because I live in Canada, so I can't run outside in the winter. I mean, I can, but I'll probably slip on the ice. The first run isn't easy. I'm like, whoa, my leg, all of that. So I think when women can just go in knowing that there's probably going to be about a 2 week resistant period and let that be okay, let that be normal. That's you coming back into who this new identity is. You're on the other side of evolution. But that's the first thing is like, if you're done evolving, you're done shedding, you're out of your pivot, your both feet are on the ground. What are we doing now? And your ego might be like, well, I don't, you have to make a decision. I don't know isn't an answer. What's step one? What's the first action? Because the ego will try and justify. And I always say, no, you have to make a decision as of listening to this podcast and then go implement it. And then you do it. And then it's like, okay, now what's the next step? And then you just build on the building blocks of that. So again, it always comes back to the action, but also I stop associating with I'm evolving. You've evolved. You're done. You've arrived.
Mic drop. I think this is so good. Thank you. So I love this conversation. I know it's going to resonate with a lot of women going through shifts, evolving, or even having evolved and being done with that. So thank you for being you. I'm going to tag Inertia in the show notes, and I'm going to try to publish this podcast before it ends so that people
Amazing.
Actually can join. So thank you.
Yes. You're so welcome. Thank you for having me. And this was like my favorite conversation ever.
Beautiful women, if you got value out of this, and I'm sure you did, I'm sure you felt activated by the energy of this interview, don't forget to visit Courtney on Instagram. You'll find all relevant links in the show notes, as well as the link to her 30-day challenge, Inertia, which is still running, so hurry up and join if you're in need of a reset in your business and life. If you love the interview, don't forget to give us a 5-star review and forward it to whoever needs to hear this today. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, and hear you in the next one.